This is Vatican Radio. After Jerusalem, Rome is viewed as the most important place of pilgrimage to mark the Passion, Death and Resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. During Holy Week, the Pope, who is also Bishop of Rome, presides over the main liturgical ceremonies, including the celebration of the Incena Domini and Chrism Masses. Rome's Colosseum takes centre stage on Good Friday for the celebration of the Via Crucis, or Stations of the Cross. On Easter Sunday, the Holy Father, following the celebration of Mass in the splendour of St. Peter's Square, gives an address to the city of Rome and the world, Urbi et Orbi. Cardinal Raymond Burke, prefect of the Supreme Tribunal of the Apostolic Signatura, reflects on this, the most important week in the Church's liturgical calendar here in Rome.
At least in the English-speaking world, but I think in the world in general, it's referred to as Spy Wednesday, because the scriptures today for the Holy Mass remind us of the betrayal of our Lord by Judas, which was the immediate means of his enemies arresting him and taking him away to the authorities to be condemned to death and executed. And so it is for us, and our Lord himself knew it. He indicated at the Last Supper that, in fact, his betrayer was at hand, and he knew who it was. But he freely entered into his passion because he understood the true meaning of his passion, namely that he was doing the will of his Father, offering his life in order to free us from our sins and win for us eternal life. And so he permitted this to happen, that Judas betrayed him. And we know now we will celebrate in the coming days on Good Friday his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas's arrival with the authorities, his betrayal of our Lord in that very cynical way by a kiss, and then the authorities taking Jesus away, and then the whole unjust trial that was conducted through which his enemies were finally able to have him condemned and crucified.
You talked about the agony in the garden. How much, because we read about the fear of Jesus, we read about that time that he says, take this cup away from me. How much does that display, do you think, to us, help us to understand Christ better in his humanity?
Well, I think it's probably one of the most effective meditations for us about the two natures in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one divine person, God the Son, who took our human nature, united it to his divine nature, becoming one of us in order to suffer and die for us. So on the one hand, we see in his humanity the intensity of his suffering. The scriptures tell us that he was actually perspiring blood. The suffering was increased by the inattention of his apostles, who had taken with him, had fallen asleep, and eventually they all abandoned him except our Blessed Mother and the Apostle John. It also is a reflection for us on his divinity, because if we can begin to imagine how any human being would have suffered in that situation, seeing what was lying ahead in terms of his passion and death, that's only indescribably increased when we reflect on the fact that this is a divine person whose sensitivities, whose goodness and justice is perfect. We can hardly imagine how much more intense the suffering was for him. So I think it's, as you're right, it helps us to meditate on his humanity. We see that he truly is in agony to the extent that he's perspiring blood. But we want also to reflect on the fact that the person suffering here is God the Son.
Moving into Holy Thursday, the different ceremonies, the different masses that take place, there's also in Rome the tradition of going around seven churches. How interesting is that for people, do you think, to also just to go into the churches, to meditate? Do you think that's a great help for them on such a solemn occasion, such a solemn day?
Oh, indeed. It's a form of pilgrimage. It's a rather lengthy pilgrimage to make, but it does, in fact, set aside these days as most holy. And so we leave in a certain way the ordinary circumstances of our life to do this extraordinary activity of visiting these seven churches. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was St. Philip Neri who instituted this practice, I could be mistaken about that, but I don't believe so, as an effective means for deepening the spiritual experience of these days. There's another tradition, if I may mention it, also having to do with visiting churches, and that is that on Holy Thursday night, after the Mass of the Lord's Supper, when the reserved Blessed Sacrament for communion on Good Friday, since on Good Friday we do not celebrate the Holy Mass, we consecrate sufficient hosts on Holy Thursday for communion on Good Friday. And those hosts are reposed not on the high altar of the church, which is stripped to represent our Lord entering into his passion after the Last Supper, but in a side altar, an altar of repose, as we call it. That altar, in order to pay honor to the great mystery of the Holy Eucharist, which we call the mystery of faith, the mystery, the Holy Eucharist, which contains the whole good of our salvation, namely our Lord himself, those altars are decorated in the most beautiful way possible with so many wonderful flowers and so forth. So many people on Holy Thursday evening make visits to the Blessed Sacrament in various churches and are very much inspired in their Eucharistic faith and deepened in their Eucharistic faith by all that beauty that is created. Yes, a dim reflection, but nevertheless a true reflection of the infinite beauty of Christ's love for us in the Most Holy Eucharist.
Good Friday, let's take the Via Crucis at the Colosseum, because it's quite unique. Again, this portrayal in this sense, how much do you think that, again, gives people just the stark reality in the Colosseum, the way of the cross? How do you think that, again, helps people to really think about what went on then?
Yes. We have to reflect that the way of the cross was developed to permit two Christians who could not go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land to trace the actual steps of our Lord as he went from the Garden of Gethsemane through his crucifixion and death. And so these meditations, these 14 meditations, 14 stations, 14 stops along the way, if we may say, of our Lord's passion and death, help us to connect with the reality, with those places where his blood dripped upon the ground, where he fell, where he encountered his mother and the holy women, and all of the various events that are of his passion and death that are recounted. Now we make contact with those places by repeating those 14 stations in our churches, our chapels. The Colosseum is a very particular celebration of the way of the cross because, first of all, it's conducted by the Vicar of Christ on earth, by the Holy Father, and it's conducted in a place in which so many Christians, in imitation of the love of the Father, which they received from our Lord Jesus Christ, in which they were living, offered their lives in fidelity, were martyrs for the faith. And so when we make the Stations of the Cross in the Colosseum, on the one hand, certainly we're uniting ourselves to those holiest of places where our redemption was accomplished in the Holy Land, but at the same time we're recalling to mind all of those who have gone before us and who have given their lives in fidelity to the truth, the beauty, and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ.
When we have Holy Thursday, we have Good Friday, then it goes into Holy Saturday, and then, of course, Easter Sunday, when Christ is risen. But it's not true to say that nothing happens on Holy Saturday, is it?
No, it's not. Holy Saturday should be, and I remember as a child growing up that it was a very quiet day in the house, and everyone was encouraged to be more reflective, because this is the time when we remember that our Lord is in the tomb. He has died for us, and he's been buried in the tomb, and we are awaiting the resurrection, and we're doing that by prayer, by keeping company with our Lord, seeking the intercession of his Blessed Mother, St. John, and of all the saints to be near our Lord, so that we'll be prepared then on Holy Saturday night to celebrate that great victory, the victory, we must say, of all victories, of Christ over death, over everlasting death, and the victory of life, the victory by which he now communicates from his pierced heart, which is now glorious. He communicates to us in an immeasurable and unceasing way the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so on Holy Saturday, we're quiet, and at the same time, we make those preparations for the Easter celebration. And sometimes people are coloring Easter eggs and doing other such things, which are all reminders to us of the great feast, the feast of the whole year that we will be celebrating on Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, the Lord is risen. How special is it to be, do you think, in Rome for Easter Sunday?
Rome, after Jerusalem, which is the mother of all pilgrimages, is the pilgrimage which any one of us would want to make on Easter. If we're not able to go to Jerusalem, the next most important place is Rome. In fact, it has a certain proper sense as a place of pilgrimage because it is the seat of Peter, who is the vicar of Christ. Christ made him his vicar on earth. And so celebrating the Easter mysteries here, we have the profound sense of celebrating them with our Lord himself, he who has risen from the dead and continues to live for us in the church and is present in every church and chapel, no matter how small it may be, no matter how remote the place may be, it is the same risen Lord who is there, but is here in a very particular and palpable way in the person of his vicar, of the successor of St. Peter, the Pope Francis. So that makes it indeed, as you say, very, very special.